And we're going to finish off the last few verses there and continue on in our study of Genesis. Earlier in the book of Genesis, God says to Noah, build an ark because I'm going to destroy mankind, because mankind is evil. The earth is corrupt. God said, it's going to be destroyed, and I'm going to preserve mankind through you and your sons, specifically your three sons, Ham, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and that's who's going to be on the ark. And we saw that he gave him not too detailed, kind of a general description of what he was to build, and Noah went to work. Again, he says in verse 17, I'll bring a flood of waters to destroy the flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant. We'll see that covenant a little bit later after the flood. And thou shalt come into the ark, and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. So basically he's saying to Noah, I want you to build an ark, you're going to go into the ark, and I've got plans for you. So basically, he's promising safety for Noah and his family. He goes on and he says again, and every living thing of flesh, two of every sort. I'm sorry, not again. He says here, you're going to bring two of every animal into the ark. And then actually at the end of here, actually at the end of the next verse, it says, shall come unto thee. A lot of people argue about the facts of the flood and Noah, and it wasn't possible to gather the animals, and whatever argument you might get. It says in the last part of the verse 20, and of every sort they shall come unto thee. In other words, God is bringing those creatures to Noah. He doesn't have to concern himself with gathering all these creatures and making sure he's got everything. God is taking care of that. And then we saw, and it says verse 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. So Noah, along with his responsibility of getting the ark built, he needs to lay in supplies. I often wonder how Noah knew how many supplies to put on the ark. I mean, we have to imagine that God gave Noah information that he hasn't given us about specifics about how to build an ark, unless Noah was a master ark builder, except we know of no other arks built before this one. So God obviously had to inspire or give Noah some knowledge that we didn't have. So I'm assuming that he would, again, let Noah know somehow how much of this or that to take to supply their needs.
Hard to say about that, how much food he needed. He had to build storage areas for that food.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so he had to build the storage areas. How did he know how big to build the storage areas? See, it all comes back to where, and again, we've talked about this all the way through the book of Genesis. We're given some of the information, but not all the details. And it would be ridiculous. I mean, it might be interesting, but it would be ridiculous for Scripture to contain every little detail of how to build the ark and how to make this and how to build that and how many of this to lay in for supplies and how it would be so many volumes that we couldn't contain it all. You'd never be able to read it all the information that would be out there, Pastor.
Just like John concluded his gospel by
All that, right.
Information.
all that information.
So, there's our...
There we go.
Got all the liquid.
Yeah. 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 It doesn't tell us if they collected rainwater or how they provided for all this stuff. But again, there's enough details to say, yes, this is what was built. Enough details to say, this is the size that we've got. And in our doubtful minds, right, because that's where we need to have all these details, is because we have doubts that this could take place. We've already seen that what he was told and the dimensions of the ark and the few details that we have, he has something large enough to contain what would have gone inside. Right.
For any one brain to sort out.
Yeah, all those details.
If you think of, build a big building, there's so many little innuendos that you don't know until you get there.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And then you're up all night thinking how... Yeah,
worrying about how this and that comes together, yeah.
Pray about it.
Yeah.
You get your answer.
Yep, exactly. So, last verse of chapter 6, and then we go on to chapter 7. What's it say? Thus did Noah, according to all God commanded him, so did he. We're going to see this statement, the same kind of thing, three more times in chapter 7. We talked about, it says, and Noah walked with God, right? Like Enoch walked with God. And Noah was a righteous man. And we see this relationship that Noah had with God. Here's a key factor. We've talked about this before. We should strive towards having that type of relationship where someone could say about us, and that individual walked with God. They were in fellowship with God to the point that they walked with God. That was their life. That was their lifestyle. That's what they lived. And here's a key component to it. And Noah did what?
What God asked him to do.
He did what God asked him to do. There's a challenge for us, right? What? Noah had a sin nature, right? Was Noah perfect and never sinned?
No.
No. Noah was a human being just like we are. Noah had a sin nature just like we do. Yet Noah obeyed God when God told him to do it. Okay, let's continue on. Chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah was seen righteous before God, and because of that, God had provided a way to save mankind, because Noah was a righteous man. And that's through whom God worked. In this generation, that time frame, that's who God saw was righteous, was Noah. So he says that unto him. Interesting as well, what does he tell Noah here? He says, come. If you were to tell somebody, okay, build an ark, and then what would you tell them?
Go.
More than likely you'd say, go into that ark because the flood's coming, right? Interesting here that the words used are come into the ark. Now, if you were to tell somebody to come, that means...
You're in there.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, that is the point. God says, come into the ark. Basically, come into the ark with me because I'm here and you're coming, as opposed to I'm here and you're going. So even in this statement, he's assuring Noah that I'm coming with you. I will be with you in this adventure. And Noah had never seen rain. Noah had probably never seen a flood. Noah had never built an ark. Noah had never done any of these things. Noah had never lived through a period of time where everyone on earth was destroyed, except for the 8 people that were going to be in this ark. So Noah is living through a time period that he's never seen happen before, involving directly him. It's kind of interesting if you stop and think, what do you think Noah was thinking through all this? You know, what was going on in his brain as he had to complete all these tasks and do what God desired him to do? And then at this point, God says, okay, it's time to come in with me. And that, just the anticipation of the unknown, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, we think about what if and what if and what if. Noah could have been thinking the same thing. What if? What if I didn't seal the ark upright and there's a leak? I mean, you know, all sorts of things can go through your mind as to what if or what could happen. And Noah could have had the same doubts. Not that he acted upon those doubts, but he could have had those same, you know, wonder what's going to take place. Anyhow, let's keep going. So he says, of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and the female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, male and female. This is the first mention in Scripture as far as clean and unclean animals. What are the clean animals? Okay, so we're assuming that clean here is the same as clean that we see later on. And that's quite possibly true. We just haven't heard this before. As far as later on when God talks about sacrifices and the clean and the unclean animals and which are which, he specifies what is clean and what is unclean. But here, again, we're given the fact that there's clean animals, unclean animals, but we're not told what specifically is what yet. But again, who's bringing the animals into the ark? God. So he's bringing the seven of the clean animals and the two of each of the unclean animals. So God is actually providing those in there. You say, well, why is that? It doesn't tell us specifically why there's more of the clean animals than the unclean animals. It's possible that the clean animals were there because the sacrifice of animals is coming, and after the flood, you would obviously need more of the clean animals that are there for sacrifice. It's possible that why do you have seven? And actually the sevens would be like three pairs and an odd. Pastor.
That's what I was going to ask. Because it says seven each of the birds of the air, male and female, seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female. Makes me wonder if it meant seven pairs.
I've thought about that too, but I seem to, where I read more and more, it says seven is three pairs and an odd. But I've wondered that too. Again.
When we know the sacrifices are coming.
Yes.
Down the line.
Yes. And God knows what's going to take place, right? From eternity past, he knew everything that's in eternity future. So God knew that at the end of the voyage that Noah was on, that he was going to sacrifice. And we'll see that when we get to the end of the flood, that Noah sacrifices. I doubt Noah knew at that point that he was going to sacrifice when he was involved with building the ark or the flood was starting. But at any rate, so he tells Noah on the ark is going to be seven of these clean animals, not the unclean. They're going to be two, male and female, the fowls of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep them, the seed alive upon the face of the earth. And again, the purpose of the ark is to keep something alive upon the ark during this flood. And he says, for yet seven days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made, I will destroy off the face of the earth. I will destroy from off the face of the earth. Sorry. And Noah did according to all that God commanded. So God says, it's time to get in the ark. Noah got in the ark and everybody that went with him. Again, Noah and his obedience. We see this in Noah's life. A key part of his life is obedience. It's interesting here. He says, for yet 7 days, excuse me, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. What's that mean? They were in the ark for 7 days before it rained. Why 7 days? Again, what? 1 week. Why? Again, interesting questions that we come up with, but we're not told the answer. Could be maybe there were last minute preparations. I mean, you got all these animals coming in, you got to get them in the right stalls, maybe you got to feed them all, whatever it might be. It also might be an interesting fact, if you have, you still have that chart that I gave you? If not, I've got mine. Here it is. Okay. Interesting thing on this chart. If you look at it, the year of the flood is 1656, right? Right? Who lived until 1566? Lamech, Noah's father, died 5 years before the flood. Someone here lived right up until the flood. Who was that? Methuselah. Methuselah died the year of the flood. So keep that in mind. Methuselah died the year of the flood. Do you remember what Methuselah's name meant? Remember? When he dies, judgment. That's what Methuselah's name meant. How would you like that for a name to carry around with you all your life? When he dies, judgment. So it's been suggested, possibility, maybe Methuselah had died shortly prior to that, and maybe there was a time of mourning before the flood started, has been suggested. Are we told? No, we're not told. All we know is that there's 7 days that they spent in the ark before the flood started. But it's interesting to look at what the possibilities are. Let's keep going. Verse 4. Oh, I already did verse 4. 40 days and 40 nights, it's going to rain. 24/7. Ever been in a big rainstorm? Okay. Ever had one last more than one day? I don't know that I've been in one that's lasted more than 24 hours. But 40 days and 40 nights, he says, it's going to rain upon the earth. Not just rain, well, we'll see later. Not just rain. Verse 6 tells us Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Okay? So this begs the question, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? Pardon me? Okay. 100 years is generally what people assume it takes to build the ark. What do we know specifically? Well, back up. Go back to chapter 5, verse 32. Tells us what? We know specifically that Noah was 500 years old when he began to beget these three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay? So we know that point in time, 500 years old. We know if you drop down to chapter 6, verse 3, we talked about this, when God says, my spirit shall not strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Some think this has to do with the length of man's lifespan. Many think that this means that when God said this, man's got 120 years before the flood. That's a possibility. could it have been 20 years between when God spoke this and when God told Noah there's going to be a flood. Sure, we're not given a time frame here. So we don't know exactly what took place between this and God saw that the earth was evil and the sons of God and the women of men, and we talked about all that and everything that took place, and God says, I'll destroy the earth. We don't know what that period of time was. It could have been, if the 120 applies, it could have been 20 years, and then God told Noah. We don't know. We're not told exactly what it is. If Noah, just some things to consider. If Noah was 500 years old when he started to build the ark and it took him 100 years, that meant when in that year when his son was first of those three sons was born is when he started building the ark, and then he had those other sons while he was building it. Some have suggested that possibly, and again, we don't know, because it doesn't. God doesn't say to Noah, build the ark and I will destroy the earth in so many years. So it could be that maybe God waited until Noah until his sons were old enough to help him. We don't know. And again, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. Could you build an ark in 100 years? You probably could. Could you build an ark in less than 100 years? Possibly. You've got three sons and you to build the ark. Here's another suggestion I've heard people suggest. Does that mean that Noah was the only one that built the ark? Does that mean that Noah couldn't hire some help? Or relatives, yeah, maybe. Obviously, you'd have to have some wealth in order to build a monstrosity of this size, right? Just to purchase the materials in our thinking. So it doesn't mean that he couldn't have had help to build the ark. After all, Scripture says that Solomon built the temple, right? Did Solomon build the temple all by himself? No, he was in charge of, he oversaw the building of the temple. No, Solomon had the temple built. So just some things to think about in time frame here. And again, I understand that a lot of people think it took him 100 years, and that's a possibility. It's also possible that it didn't take him quite the 100 years. some have suggested maybe 50 to 75 years was the time frame. And again, none of this is written in stone. None of this is facts, just some things to think about. I've heard people say, well, it couldn't have been 100 years because by the time you start at this end, and 100 years later, that end's going to be rotten. I mean, stick some wood outside and see how long it lasts. Okay, but the situation is different in Noah's day, right? The climate's completely different. For that matter, the wood he used, this gopher wood, maybe it's impervious to rot. Do you realize that, and we talked about this, it could have been cedar or cypress. Do you realize that cedar doesn't really rot? I mean, it does eventually, but it's like 100 times slower than normal wood does. So just because somebody thinks that one end of the boat would rot before you got the other end of the boat finished doesn't necessarily hold true. Just some things to think about. We're not told. We know the certain dates that were given, but God doesn't tell us. Does it really matter if it took Noah 75 years to build the ark? Or 100 years? Does it make a difference one way or the other? No.
All of those suggestions are just examples of man trying to dispute the accuracy of thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God said he did it.
Right. That right. Again.
And we're talking about that in 1 Corinthians this morning.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. And we'll get to more.
Man is a big fool.
We'll get to more of that as we talk about the flood itself.
And I got to think about God, they went through the 40 years in the desert, preserved everything they have.
Mm-hmm.
There's no
Right.
Everything here, too.
Right.
God can do what he wants.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm saying is just because somebody says maybe it was 75 years instead of 100 doesn't mean they've found the clue to why the Bible's not true. Okay? God said, I want you to build an ark. Noah did what God commanded. God provided. And that's the facts that we're given. That's the facts that we need. We sure didn't get very far this morning, did we? That's okay. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed, and we'll continue on with the flood itself next week.